Well, I got a microphone. We got a video. There's plenty of sweets over there. If you haven't had some, you might want to go get some to catch up with the rest of us who are pinging. Giles, I haven't had yours yet, so if you still want it, you can have it. I think that's actually from the video. Yeah, that's the video. That's the sunset over Shenandoah's, or sunrise over the Shenandoah's, whichever way you want to look at that. I wanted to just read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 32 before, or 17 to 18 or so, before we get into the movie, because he's been referring to it a lot. And I want to just set it in there. Today is going to be a fast-paced video. I mean, you're going to have to listen fast to keep up with what he's saying, because he'll go through pretty much everything we've talked about for the last 3 weeks and then hit you with what you need to do about it. So, Second Corinthians 5, 17, or 12 to 17, I think it is, or 17 to 21, sorry. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So that's kind of where we're going to go today, is talking about what are you doing to become the righteousness of God in your community. All right, so, you know, we've gone from the hope that Christ is risen, Christ is Lord, Christ is in all things, and making all things new, and Christ determined that we would be here for this time and place. And then the truth, the story, that we are created in the image of God, but that the storyteller, God, has put the creation, the fall, put God himself into that story as a human to be with us, to reconcile us from the sin that we are in, so that we can be reconcilers. And if you remember the identity piece, you got to identify with yourself, with God, with others, and then with creation. And then that's going to provide for, if as you identify that, what's your calling? Where are you called? What are you called to do? And next week, we won't have a movie, but we're going to talk about what and where do you fit into those callings. We've taught four things in all this. We've got four places next week that you can fit into. And I made that up, so you'll have to tell me if you like it or not. Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll watch the movie. Lord, we thank you for this, for the moisture we got this week, for the time we have to be together here. Thank you for what we've learned through these last 3 weeks, and we just pray that you would hit our hearts hard with this calling piece and show us where you'd have us to put our energies, efforts, and where you would want us to put our talents. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead, Lauren. Kind of hard-hitting, huh? So you sort of brought that all the way back to, the whole title of the movie, Truth Rising. I was thinking this morning about where were some things in the life of the Hebrews especially that were broken, or where things were not working right. Missing. What jumped at me was Moses was on the mountain for 11 chapters, however long, 40 days, 11 chapters, chapter 20 through about chapter 31 or 32. What happened when he came down off the mountain, or while he was on the mountain? What was going on? The golden calf was happening. And he's up there communing with God, getting what he wants them to do, how he wants them to live. He comes down, and in that much time, they've totally blown it. And so there's an opportunity, right? And then another one that jumped out at me was when they brought the woman who was set up in adultery to Jesus. For him, that was an opportunity. It wasn't a condemnation of her. It was a condemnation of them for what they did. And he started to work to restore that. He posed the evil and restored it right away. Gave the person a chance to move on. Anyway, those are two things I thought of just this morning. And so, I guess the thing that was one of the most important things he said there was, it's not what, I can't fix this, I can't fix that. What can I do? Remember Jack Phillips when he was in the movie, when he was talking about how inadequate he felt to be taking this case up to the Supreme Court and all that? What did he say? Anybody remember what he said about his ability and God's ability? It was something like, I'm perfectly willing or able to let God perfect, or God's perfect ability work in my inability. Something like that. And it wasn't within him, it wouldn't be within me either, but he was willing to let God take that situation and do with it as he would. Working in my obedience. Yeah, that was good. Thank you for helping with that, because I had that earlier today. So, if you remember also Seth Dillon from Babylon Bee, he said that when you stand for something good, others will be inspired to join the cause. What are some everyday examples you guys might see of people standing for something good and other people joining in to work with it? Yeah, Stephanie? Yeah, we just got a letter from them. In fact, she talked about choices and what they're doing, the good news. Their budget is going to be $67,000 short this year. With their baby bottles campaign that we participate in, that might bring in $24,000-$25,000, which is great from all the churches that participate in that. But that still leaves them in the neighborhood of $40,000 short. So, that's a what can you do? Can you help with that? Can you give them something? If a lot of people give them something, it makes a lot of difference. And that goes right back to what John was talking about with the babies in Rome, right? How many of you, like me, went to church because of a pretty girl who invited you? and the description of how that changed Roman culture 30 years later, when all those baby boys are looking for wives and the only place there are wives are in the church, and that's where they got to go to get them. That's a cool story. Good. What might you say to someone who thinks the problems of this moment are too overwhelming for any one person to bring about a solution? Sharon? Yeah, it just starts with one person. Giles? Yeah, so Giles said it start, you know, everybody kind of thinks it has to be big, but it does start small and then gets to where God wants it to be, I think, you know. I was thinking of you guys' ministry when he was talking about that, you know. You don't reach every pastor out there, but the people you do reach, it makes a difference in their lives, and it touches other lives when you reach them, which is huge. And you don't even know how far that's gone. Nobody will ever know until we get to heaven how far that little reach has gone. Yes, Tammy? Mm-hmm. Little seeds here, let them grow. Yeah, what do you, Stephanie, go ahead. Yeah. I mean, I think that's huge, and that if there is no effort from us, there's nothing for God to use. If you do something, God can join onto it. If you see him doing something, you join into it where he's doing things, and it magnifies what's happening. Yeah, Sharon? What I've heard, yeah, the number of with Charlie Kirk's ministry, the number of Turning Point chapters that have started up since he's passed has grown exponentially. Yes, Melody. Marilyn, you had your hand up. Yeah, just being able to share those things. You know, so what is it that you're called to? And you don't have that answer probably right now. But it's something to think about through this week. I mean, what is it that you are called to do? And it may be just sharing your faith with people. You know, something just as small, like we talked about last week. I'm going to make a point to bring up Jesus intentionally into conversations I have, even if that person is going to scorn me, maybe. You know, I is that my problem? No, God's perfectly willing to take that for me, right? I just got to let him. So, you know, it could be just a little thing like that. But what I'm asking you to do, next week we're just going to talk about what we've looked at and what is out there for us, okay? And so just like we've talked about the four realities under hope and the four chapters in the true story, the four pieces of our identity and the four callings that are there, I want you to think about four different relationships and where your calling might apply in your own life. You know, like he talked about, we can fix a lot of things that are wrong in our lives right now just by, you know, treating people nicely, talking nicely to your wife and turning off the devices and those things. So what about yourself? What about within your family? You know, what calling is there within not just your little family, but your bigger family? Like my mom thinks I called her evil last week. That relationship is broken right now. So there's a calling there. How about within your workplace or, you know, not all of us work, but within the circle of people that you live in and work and are a part of, and hopefully you have a few circles, you know, that you're a part of where you have opportunities to share the Lord, to be refreshed by other Christians and branch out into different places. And what are those circles? If you need more circles, what more circles might you want to be involved in? And then here in this church. So that's kind of your homework assignment this week, is to take these ideas, especially what John talked about today in terms of looking at what's good, preserving, protecting, and advancing it, what's missing, you know, add, innovate, contribute, create, what's evil, what can you oppose, resist, or even end, and then, you know, what's broken that we can renew or restore or replace. But I want you to think about it in the context of those four relationship areas. And come back next week ready to share about that. What have you thought of? What are places, if you want to share about yourself, where you can be involved? But really, what about us as a group, as a church? Where can we go to be a part of that, to turn our calling together? Because we have a lot of talents. We have a lot of resources. We have a lot of the Holy Spirit that wants to get out and do things. Where do we want to go? What can we as a church do? I mean, let's not just say this is a great movie and great series. What do we want to do with it, right? Okay, well, that's your homework. Sorry to send you home with homework, but it shouldn't be too difficult or strenuous. I'm not going to grade it when you get back, but we're going to talk about it. All right. Well, let's pray. I'm sorry. Anybody have anything else you want to, did that spur any thoughts or something you want to add to that? Okay. Well, good. Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had to look at these ideas and the work that John Stonetreat and folks on the family put into all this. Lord, I just pray that you would let it not be something that just comes in, but that you would turn it into something that invades our heart and works its way out. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.